advanced or introductory?
Good stuff.
What do you vote for? You haven't even read your Gita yet. Every week I ask you, have you read, you opened your book, you know. And you?
What I vote for?
Yeah.
Well, let's say intermediately advanced, so.
And you?
My introduction.
That is, man. What do you say?
What?
What
is that?
Huh?
Anyone else?
Well, you know, these Friday nights are for persons who are, not for the full on so much, for those who are wading in and also those who've been acquainted for a while. Don't mind if I ignore you guys. You're supposed to know everything already. You know. You don't mind, do you? I know you're here for the show, right? All right. We'll go deep into the 18th chapter, the last chapter. Just to satisfy Grant.
No.
We're going to do a series of verses. You all ready for action? Page 850. Okay. Just going to go around the room real quick. You can start. Text 66. Read it out loud, please.
Obeying the law, varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Okay, next, 67. Yes, next step.
His confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotion or service, nor to one who is envious of me.
Next.
For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotee, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me.
Next.
One who explains this.
Next one. Can we have a bigger book for him, please? The second time here, you know.
There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there be one more dear.
Over here, his dessert.
Yeah. And I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation of our worship,
of our
flowers, worships me by his intelligence.
Yes.
And one who looks into faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reaction and attains to be the auspicious planet where they hide and dwell.
Okay, your turn. Text 72.
I was sent over.
Pritha,
O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? and are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled?
Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, all infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions.
Thank you. The last one.
Sanjay says, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end.
Okay, would you like to read that first part of that, Trent?
In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita,
Dhritarashtra
inquired from his secretary Sanjaya, what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the great and spiritual master, Vyasa. He thus explained the theme of the battlefield. The conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would not take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity, Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjaya realized this, and he began to understand it. He related the conversation to Dhritarashtra. Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory.
Yes. So, have you ever heard a conversation before that makes your hair stand on end? Have you ever heard anybody talk about something? You open the window there, please. That is so thrilling, your hair stand on end? What would you expect to have to that to be? A conversation so thrilling as your hair stand up. What would you think it's about?
Totally amazing.
Like what? What's your version of totally amazing?
Anything that's...
Like what?
Orange?
That would make your hair stand on end to hear about it.
Yeah, see
ya. Anyone else? What would make your hair stand on end to hear about?
Something I've never heard before. Something that was truthful. No, I'm not truthful. Something that really, that I could believe in.
Something that you could believe in. Like what? What do you mean?
Anything.
Anything that you could believe in?
Yeah. That has that meaning. That's some good depth.
That would make your hair stand on end. You'd be so thrilled.
Yeah. Or, well, it's good depth. It's good depth.
And you?
Yeah. What was the question again?
What do you think would be so thrilling to hear about that your hairs would stand on end?
God.
What's that?
The truth about God.
What's that? This is a proof, what we've done, a little experiment here. This is a proof that actually there's nothing really sensational going on in life. It's the same old thing. The most he can come up with was something sky turning orange or something. And what would that do for you? how to change the quality of your life.
Why not?
So in other words, you don't know anything that would be so thrilling. Generally, the way society is today, a thrilling thing that would, you think your hair just standing in if you suddenly got a lot of money, right? Just like today I heard about, it was one family, they were driving a car in the USA, and the back door, I guess it was one of these combi cars, the back door suddenly flung open, and a 6-year-old boy was thrown out the back and fractured his skull and died. So everybody would say that's a tragedy. So his parents, they sued the auto manufacturers, and they were awarded $265 million in damages. So generally, when the average person, you know, anybody gets that there, wow, you know. Yeah, I really love my son, but $265 million. It was our son's sacrifice for us. He would have wanted it this way. Me and a rationalization start. God knew that we suffered so much, and this is God's blessing on us. So someone, if 2 years ago you lost your 6-year-old son suddenly in an auto accident, and then today you're awarded $265 million, so about $400 million U.S. New Zealand dollars, something like that. Your hair's just standing in, right? Wow, do all that money, my life is set, I'm free, right? You didn't think of that, right? Free. Now you don't even have to smile to girls anymore, right? You just show them your bank account, right? Right? $100 million?
You could,
hey, you could buy the whole country.
You're free. You're falling to the other thing.
Yeah. Free time forever, right? The funny thing is, with $400 million, you can't buy that 1 second of your life. That one second. So people actually don't know what wealth is. They don't know what to do with themselves. That's why they have no idea what would really thrill them. Therefore, it's always money. They think money means freedom, money means happiness. You know, money isn't everything, but it's most things. Such persons have a hard time understanding Bhagavad Gita because this is presenting immeasurable wealth in a different way. And because the wealth of Bhagavad Gita is different, we have a hard time trying to fit it into our life. We all think, oh, we have our practical priorities. Right? You got your practical things to do, right?
Yes, well.
You have your practical things to do, right? You're working? No, but still you have practical things. You're going to school, right?
Yes.
University? And why are you going to university? I know, but is it why? Are you going to be a scholar? So why are you going to university?
Studying.
What are you studying?
Political studies and philosophy. Mm-hmm.
And then what will that lead to when you're finished?
I don't know if I want to finish it. I'm sort of cruising along, thinking. I haven't really got a good chip in mind yet.
Mm-hmm. So you have no career plans?
Vaguely. No. Hold on. Okay.
So what would it take to thrill anyone here? Here, we're
we're reading that the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna is so thrilling that hairs stand on end. What would it take to thrill you all? No idea. It shows you what life is like today. Facebook is boring. If you got a lot of money, you do the same things as what you do now with a little money. You just do it more extensively. Instead of traveling a short distance, you travel a far distance. Instead of, you know, going to one movie a week, you can build a home theater at home. And just, how many movies can you watch a week, though? Instead of eating at Kentucky Fried Chicken, you'll go to an expensive sushi bar or something. And eat Japanese raw fish, a delicacy. So how will your life really change simply by getting a lot of money? Where's the thrill? How about relationships? The thrill is supposed to be there, right?
How much is that money to help God?
Can you explain that?
Well, that's yourself. If you had all that money, of course. Then you could use it to set up more temples or...
No, we're talking about you. Don't come for me then.
Well, that's what I might do as well.
Oh, you give it to me? There you go. I know what to do with it, you're right.
Well, there's a lot of energy in that amount of money. And the materials and things.
Yeah. So what would you do with it? That's thrilling.
Use it and help and spend it and share it and
have a big party, right?
Yeah.
And all the 365 night trance dance, right? Right? I do something like that. That would really help people. To have those endurance trance dances.
Techno parties?
Yeah, techno parties. Yeah. They don't call them trance dancers there. I guess they have a million names. Yeah. Just in case she was a trance dancer. So, like in Berlin, you know, they have this big, what is it called? This big annual day every year in Berlin. Millions of techno freaks come, you know, the love parade. How 2 million people, you know, come from all the world, you know, for a one-day techno, you know, marathon. So this is what people call thrilling. So the point of all this is to try to get you to see that life as it's being lived, there's no thrills to it. The thrilling relationship everyone's looking for, right? Ask anybody, especially in their 60s, but even in their 40s and now into their 30s, ask them about the so-called thrills of relationships and how long they last.
Let's say not to get married.
They say that, but they only say that. Because even though they realize the thrill fades very quickly, still they're pushed by their passion. They have to have an outlet for their passions, even though they know it's futile. So they say, they'll tell you, there's no such thing as romance. There's no such thing as, you know, a deep lasting relationship. But meanwhile, they'll still pursue relationships because their passions are pushing them. After all is said and done, that's the bottom line. So here we are face to face with the situation. There are no thrills to be had in material life. In Sanskrit, it is called puna punas charvana charvananam. Chewing that which has already been chewed. You all know what that is. Chewing that which has already been chewed. Try it tonight when you're taking your meal afterwards. You chew something very thoroughly, very thoroughly. Chew it. As the dentist or the doctors say, masticate it very thoroughly. There's no juice left, there's just fiber in your mouth. And then pull it out of your mouth and try to offer it to somebody else. This, as we've described many times, is the process of one generation after another. One generation hands down all the cultural principles to the next generation. That's what it's like. No juice there, but still, the parents hand it to their children. Those children grow up and have children and hand it to their children. I'm on the same thing though. So no one knows what real wealth is. How can hair stand on end simply by hearing this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna? You have to have purified senses to appreciate this. Now we'll go back to text 66 and march forward. Page 850. Sarva dhanam paricya ja sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papedyo moksha yishyami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Now, why is Krishna saying abandon all varieties of religion? Sarva dharma. All the dharmas. What is dharma? We discussed some months ago how sometimes this word dharma is popular and people think it means whatever you want to do, that's your dharma. Your dharma may be surfing, yours may be trance dancing, your dharma may be traveling. People use the word in that way these days. It's not such an unknown word anymore. No, that has nothing to do with the actual definition of dharma. In Sanskrit, dharma has a secondary meaning and a primary meaning. The secondary meaning means Vedic occupational duties and social classifications which gradually bring about self-realization. Just like Arjuna is a warrior, that's his secondary dharma. He's also a householder. That's his secondary dharma. He's a married man with family. Now, what is primary dharma? That is simply the spirit soul's activities. Whether you are a warrior or a family person, doesn't matter. Those are things to do with the body. So the real dharma is the activity of the soul. Now, if we talk about the activity of the soul, does anyone know anything? Because there is ignorance about activity of the soul, people are forced to act as if they're the body. It's like you all have heard about the soul before. But if I ask you, what does the soul do? All you'll be able to think about is what your body does. That's why our present consciousness is called the bodily conception of life. Because we cannot think of any activity, any individuality, or any pleasure that's not in relation to the physical body. Physical body, in the sense of Bhagavad Gita, also includes the mind, the intelligence. This is why people do not become thrilled by spiritual discussions, because they are given no information behind all these words. They just talk about soul, God, and it's quite boring. They're not thrilled. Their hairs don't stand on end. Generally, they go to sleep. Can you imagine calling up one of your friends and saying, can you come over? I want to talk about God. He's right. That is right. Can you imagine that? Calling up one of your friends?
Yeah.
Couldn't mention it. You can try it out on one of your girlfriends. They think you're coming up with a new approach, right?
Oh, you're so original.
All right? Well, they know you're joking. They think you're joking, but still they get a kick out of it.
You don't have to think of something like that just to call me.
So this is the embarrassing condition of human life today. No one knows anything beyond physiology, psychology. Therefore, when people approach Bhagavad Gita, they don't know the wealth they have. Even if they're so fortunate as to get a Bhagavad Gita, it just sits on their shelf. Because, you know, they don't understand the great thrill that's available in this literature. Because the senses are polluted. What pollutes the senses? Intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex. Dull your consciousness so that you cannot actually relish spiritual subject matter. All right, let's go back to the verse here. Krishna is saying, abandon all varieties of religion. That means, Krishna is saying, abandon all subordinate dharmas and take to the main dharma, which is to do what I want, because I'm the supreme soul and you're the individual soul, my part. In other words, the spirit soul simply serves the supreme soul. Any other religious principles are meant to bring you to that platform. So at the end of the Gita, after Krishna's explained all the preliminary yogas, all the preliminary knowledge, he says, you want to go to the ultimate? Just surrender to me. I'm the goal of dharma. Now, what does it mean to surrender to someone? Have any of you ever surrendered to someone? Yeah?
To myself, really.
That means, when you say to yourself, it means what? Your senses, right?
Yes.
Your mind and senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's very good that you can see that. Most people can't see it. They're surrendered to their senses. Can you give us an example of surrendering to the senses?
Say for example, like, say you want to fast or do something like that.
Fast?
Or
you fast?
Or not eat meat, for example, and your body craves it, or just some sort of craving. Instead of like fighting, you just surrender, and you go and do that. Activity and sort of peace sort of
deal then. And how long?
Until it
craves
again.
Which is how long later? Quite soon.
Well, if you've got like quite an embedded sort of habit.
Can you describe this peace that seems to set in?
Like a momentary thing. It's like when you quench when you're thirsty.
Yeah.
You have a drink and then this is quenched and it'll disappear until you gain your thirsty.
And how satisfying is that moment of peace? Think about it. Does it really rock you to your core?
Well, relative.
Huh?
Sort of relative. Like, say you just run a marathon or something and you're really thirsty. Well, you really rejoice in the strength that you have.
You really do.
Or say if you just... just sort of average mediocre thirsty and you just have a drink. Nothing special really.
Alright, nothing special.
No.
Here we are back to the same old point. There's no real thrill in material life. And what's the simple test I always ask you to make? I haven't told you this stuff. You take your favorite pleasure, don't mention what it is. Take your favorite pleasure. Can you do it day after day, moment after moment without going crazy? Find me any pleasure in this world that you can do continuously without going crazy or injuring yourself.
Nothing.
Right. So therefore, what is that so-called moment of peace after you do something and you feel satisfied?
What? An illusion.
Yes. But what else is there to do?
Keep on going.
Where? Where? He's an honest guy, isn't he, Grant?
It's weird. Thank you.
Where? Forward where?
It sort of depends, really.
Where are you going forward to? How do you feel that your life is advancing?
It's sort of changed as I've grown up, and
how has it advanced?
How has it advanced?
Yeah.
Just different experiences, and a lot of them are due to coming to different ages.
Now, what's the symptom of the advancement?
Growth?
You mean your body's growing?
Yeah, mind.
Well, how's your mind and perception growing? How's it getting better?
I don't know.
It's just got to be getting better, right? You're just getting better with age, right? So how is your life advancing?
I don't know, it's just an advancing.
Alright, that's a rare answer. But isn't that what society tells you? Things are getting better, you're getting better?
Well, to maintain a positive frame of mind, things sort of burn it, things are getting better, but I guess...
You kind of dope yourself up with a positive frame of mind. I feel good today. Don't you feel good? Yeah, I mean, things are just kind of all right, yeah.
Personally, sort of more recently, I'm just letting go of say, old habits and trying to, and acquiring bigger ones.
Like what?
Just more positive relationships, purer than what was.
I knew it was going to come around. You're more caring and sensitive, right? Not so exploitive, right?
Yeah, you say that as well.
You warn your girlfriend before you take that to someone else, right?
Right.
Whereas before you wouldn't, right? Now you warn her. You discuss it first. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do and why it's good for both of us. All right?
I am joking.
But you know what I mean.
I've got times when you just feel really depressed and down and you never feel very alive. And I guess, you sort of realize that and then you won't... I want to seek out
I'm just washing your hands, trying to understand what you're saying. You seek out
a more sort of
Maharaj, I think there is a spectrum there with people who may not be yet at a transcendent state or coming towards that, where such as the material swirl, that people do get very brutalized and their actions as a consequence become brutal. Some people realize what's happening and move away from it. Some people don't. What, of course, comes after that is another matter, but I think that it's not a one-dimensional situation with a lot of people. That's all I would say as a little codicil to this subject. There is a level of brutalization which can be very, very nasty with some people. I mean, you don't have to get into the area of criminology to recognize that it's in business or whatever. There's a level of brutality in relationships too. And some people move away from that. They move away and don't move very far, but they recognize that.
So then the question would be, is that little bit of so-called moving away, is that going to do the job?
Well, no, but I'm just trying to make
right,
the thing a little more colorful than the gray area we're going at the moment.
Right. So you've moved away, Miranda suggested, you've moved a little bit away from the brutal thrust of society. Right?
Well, I'm moving with it, I guess.
I think the trouble with this sort of thing is that sort of you may move away from it and become more sensitive or sensitized or whatever. But then it tends, because a lot of people don't have anything to grab hold of which has got some substance, it becomes pretty new age and amorphous.
We discussed that before. What happens is that you end up basically doing the same thing as everybody else because you don't have anything better in its place. So we noticed that, as we were talking in the beginning of our workshop, that the people who talk about the soul and God, their lives are basically the same.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't found that thing that's going to thrill them so much their hair stand on end just hearing about it.
No, the false ego is still very much at work. But it's probably, in terms of the spectrum, it's probably a better place to be than some.
Where is that place better?
I'd say it's probably a better movement than, you know, some of the other problems, some of the other situations.
You have any comments?
Oh, no, no comment.
So once again, we're looking at this text, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Now, who is this Krishna to demand that? This is an important point because this may very well make the difference between all the fogginess in our life and something that's clear. This may actually give us some direction where we should be moving to. You say, we were discussing surrender. He says he has surrendered to his senses before. Very accurate observation. Has anyone else, have you surrendered to anything or anyone before? Have you surrendered to something before? Telecom, right? Yeah, it's a surrender going there every 5 days a week, right?
All my life. I surrendered to something.
How many years with telecom?
No, not with just telecom, but with many things.
Mm-hmm. You gotta come in, punch in. They still punch in on time cards these days, or they don't do that anymore?
That's just one thing to do, surrender all through your physical life on the planet.
Yeah.
Whether it be to teachers, your friends.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's serving somebody, isn't
it? Yes. That's the essential meaning of Dharma, that everyone is always a servant. Who here cannot see that? That in all circumstances you are a servant. Either you're serving your senses, you're serving telecom. Everybody is serving. Even someone who thinks they're in control, they are serving.
Krishna is serving?
Hmm?
Krishna is serving?
Krishna is the predominator. We are the servants. The living entities, they are the servants.
Does he like serve himself by allowing Krishna to serve him?
Hmm? What do you know about Krishna? The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to thrill you with the conversation between Krishna and his devotee Arjuna. Actually, Krishna is driving the chariot of his devotee Arjuna. So that's service. But even while doing that, Krishna never loses his supreme position. And Arjuna always knows that even though Krishna is driving his chariot, that Krishna is the supreme. This is Krishna's having fun, being a chariot driver for his devotee. There's no, Krishna is not limited. Because Krishna is the complete, the supreme infinite, Krishna enjoys infinite kinds of ways. not only as master, but Krishna also can pretend to be a servant just to enjoy in that way.
Doesn't Krishna absolutely mean everything?
What do you mean everything?
Absolutely everything.
So, give me an example of how you deal with Krishna saying that Krishna is everything. It's good you're curious about Krishna.
How would you deal with Krishna?
Yes.
Well,
what would you do? Krishna is everything. Now what would you do?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't continue doing anything else that I am, really. But I guess there'll be
you wouldn't do anything different than what you're doing now.
Well,
this is an important point.
No, because if I was, I would be.
If you were what?
I would say something different I'd be doing, but I'm just doing one time.
But
acting naturally.
But remember, your point is, isn't Krishna everything?
Yes.
So I asked you, how would you apply that point in your life that Krishna is everything?
Well, you have a relationship with that everything.
Aha, this is the point I wanted to get at. So does that mean, you know, no matter what you do, it's all Krishna, so.
Yeah.
Like some kind of pantheism. Krishna's everything, Krishna's everyone, everywhere. So just be with it all and you're with Krishna.
Like consciousness that sort of means absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And
so, what about it?
And it's like life. Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. In Bhagavad Gita, this observation you have made is attributed to somebody in the mode of goodness. They see an all-pervading spiritual energy. But that's just the beginning of spiritual knowledge. As you make more advancement, you find out that that all-pervasive spiritual energy is emanating from a source. I'll give you another example. You're a bright fellow. Isn't milk the energy of the cow? Yes? The milk comes from the cow, right? So in that sense, the milk is the cow, because without the cow, there's no question of milk, right? But if you boil the milk, are you boiling the cow? If you have a pot of milk, you never drink milk. If you had a pot of milk and you were heating it, are you heating the cow?
You're heating something that
comes from the... You're heating the cow's energy.
If it has any lights in it, you're heating.
No. Are you heating the cow when you boil the milk?
No.
All right. That means you're boiling the energy of the cow. So although the milk comes from the cow, and in that sense, the milk is the cow. Still, in another sense, the milk is not the cow. So, this is one of the deepest aspects of Vedic knowledge. How the Supreme Absolute Truth is one with everything and simultaneously different. This is called in Achincha Veda Veda Tattva. Inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. The energy of Krishna is the same as Krishna, because without Krishna, the energy doesn't exist. But at the same time, you can alter the energy, but you do not alter Krishna. So both things go on at the same time. So if you say, oh, here's this chair, it's Krishna, that is not the complete understanding. The chair is the energy of Krishna. Therefore, if you burn the chair, you're not burning Krishna. But at the same time, without Krishna, the chair won't exist, because the chair is the energy of Krishna. Can you get a grip on that? So simply to say that Well, isn't Krishna everything? So this is the deepest mystery of the science of God. How the energy of Krishna is one with Krishna, yet different. Would you like to know where Krishna talks about that in Bhagavad Gita? Turn to chapter 9, text 4, page 457. Page 457. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina masani sababhutani nachaham te sravastita. Would you like to read the text on page 458?
By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them.
So, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. That's a contradiction, isn't it? It seems? In other words, everything is Krishna's energy, but just you may have your grip on everything. Impossible as that sounds, but let's say you have your grip on everything. You actually don't have Krishna. Even though everything is the energy of Krishna, if you can get your hands around everything, still you don't have Krishna. Now read the next verse. Natamastani bhutani pashame yogam aishvaram bhuta brinnacha bhutasta mamatma bhuta bhavanaha.
And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation.
Once again, this paradox. Although I'm everywhere, I'm not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Can you understand that a bit? A little difficult. Okay, go back to the previous page, 458, and read part of that. Start with the beginning of the purport, the very good purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, page 458. You have a book? Start your purport? Yeah.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not sensible through the gross material senses.
Atatsi Krishna Namadi Namba Vegrayam Indrek Sevan Mukhihi Jivada Swayam Ev Spuratida.
Lord Sri Krishna, name, fame, pastimes, etc., cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. In the Brahma Samhita. That is stated.
Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Sandhasa Daivahiresha Valokayanti.
One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. But for people in general, he is not visible. Here it is said that although he is all-pervading, everywhere present, he is not conceivable by the material senses. This is indicated here by the word
Avyaktamurtina.
But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. As we have discussed in the 7th chapter, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of his two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy.
Yes, so the sun shoots its light, its sunshine everywhere. In one sense, the sunlight is the sun, because without the sunlight has no existence. But still, there's a difference. There's a difference between having the sunlight in your room and the sun inside your room. But then again, from another point of view, the sunlight is the energy of the sun. So in a limited sense, there's no difference. But still, on the other hand, if you say the sunlight's in my room and the sun itself's in my room, oh, there's a huge difference in that experience. So in that same way, we can understand Krishna's impersonal presence through his energy. So when you say Krishna's everything, you're referring to his impersonal presence. Just like you're referring to the sunlight, the energy of the sun. But Krishna says, personally, I'm not there. In other words, don't think you got me bottled up. Go on, read. Would you like to read the next paragraph?
Would you like me to?
Sure.
All right. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such an argument, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am alone.
Now, husband, does that make sense? I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof.
Is he aloof, though, to people who... He's not aloof to people who are Krishna conscious.
All right. What does the first line of the purport say?
In me, well, by me.
No, no. I'm the Supreme Personality of God.
The Supreme Personality of God, he is not speakable through the gross material senses.
All right. So if you want to understand everything as the energy of Krishna, and you want to understand Krishna himself, then you have to purify your senses. What happens if your brother, he sees your coat hanging on a hook? What does he think? He thinks, that's my brother's coat. He knows you. Just by looking at your coat, he thinks of you.
Really,
that
really
is. Well, you have something that your brother will recognize, right?
Okay.
But even some of your possessions.
Uh-huh. But they're not necessarily just mine.
Hmm?
They might not just necessarily might remind him of me. He might have his own sort of... He'll have his own perception of it.
No. You have a car?
Yeah.
Your brother knows your car, right?
Yeah.
So if he sees your car...
Me driving past him.
No, even just parked on the street.
Yeah.
He immediately thinks of you, right? Yes. I have to use girlfriend example so you'll really click, you know? Oh, the only kind of thing that really works with you. Similarly, just like your brother sees the car, your car, and thinks of you. That's his car. Even if he's angry at you, he still thinks of you, right? Similarly, Krishna consciousness means to be trained that you look at all the energy and you immediately think, it's Krishna's. You immediately connect the owner to the energy. Now you don't do that now, do you? What happens when you're walking around the city? Hey, it's just all here, and what can it do for me, right? You don't think, who does it belong to, do you? Or do you?
Sort of think life belongs to everyone and no one.
Exactly. So suppose I broke into your home and said, and you kind of found me in your house or your flat and asked me what I was doing there, and I just said, well, I kind of, you know, feel like it's belongs to everyone and no one. What would you say?
Oh,
really?
My attitude is.
You just say like that. So we can take all your possessions then. How much money do you have on you now? Huh?
Not very much.
How much? Okay, can you please leave it here? Because it's, you know, this kind of belongs to everyone and no one. Can you please leave it in the chair here?
Still belongs to everyone and no one, but no.
No, can you? Why not? Why can't you leave it here? It belongs to everyone and no one. We'll put a sign there. This belongs to everyone and no one. Why don't you do that? Huh? Because what difference would it belongs to everyone and no one? Come on, get serious, get into it.
I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that.
What difference does it make?
Because. Not how I can sort of. Not how I'm going to deliver my actions.
Ah, look, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to everyone and no one.
Yeah, true.
So then why don't you just put the money there?
What? Because I don't want to.
Why don't you want to? Is it you? Are you saying it's yours?
I didn't say this one.
Huh? You what? What's that?
Because I have choice. Right?
Why? Is it yours?
You know, all the atoms and things in this world, don't, you know, how can one sort of claim that they own them?
Exactly, so put the money there. I don't ask for everything, just put the $20 bill there. Just those atoms in the $20 bill, just put it right there.
I need to try to get some food later on.
Oh, you'll starve without that $20? Just call up a girlfriend and tell her to come over and pick a meal for you.
I have a
girlfriend. Whoever, the thrill of the moment. The current Saturday night fever.
It's like, if I put that $20 there.
Yeah. It's not yours, right? You agree it's not yours, right?
I'm not. Well, the actual atoms.
I agree with you, so we just put the bill there, please. Stop all this hemming and hawing.
I'm not just like putting the bill there, I'm putting my attachment to it there as well.
Whatever. Is it yours money? It's everyone's and no one's, as you said, and we're agreeing, so just put it there.
But it's not like it all wants to go back into speculation and that now, but.
Yeah, just keep
going
around.
Put it over there.
Yeah, put it over there.
I'll come back and get it when
we
go find my food.
Why? Does it belong to you?
I'm attached to it.
But does it belong to you?
Physically, impossibly, no.
Okay then, put it there.
I don't want to say that for
because you think it's yours. So therefore, my point is that you do wander around through this cosmos thinking, this is mine, what's for me. You don't question who the proprietor is. That's the point. So this is getting back to our advanced verse on page 850. Page 850, Sarva Dharma and Prajaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. What is Krishna saying here? I am the proprietor. I am the controller. Give up your false sense of proprietorship. Give up your false sense of control. Give up your false sense of enjoying. And just live life completely on my terms. Now what do you say to that? One, two, three, no.
I'm not too.
Huh? Repeat after me. No, Krishna, I will not surrender to you. Surrender to Krishna means to acknowledge that in all circumstances, as Grant was saying, everyone is serving. And because everything is Krishna's energy, they're actually serving Krishna. But there's a direct way and an indirect way of serving Krishna. Indirectly, you serve Krishna through his illusory energy. Directly, you serve Krishna through the spiritual energy. So everybody's actually serving Krishna. When they serve their senses, as they say, those senses and that body, it's Krishna's energy. You understand? So by serving your senses, indirectly you're serving Krishna. But surrender to Krishna, sarvadharmam prachaja, means do it directly. Directly acknowledge the proprietor and controller. You understand the difference? Now, how can you surrender to Krishna without knowing who Krishna is?
It wouldn't happen, would it? Unless you actually knew who.
Have you ever surrendered to someone you don't know?
Well, yeah.
Who?
Surrender to circumstance.
Right. The circumstances are the impersonal manifestation of Krishna, destiny, providence, time. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kalosmi, I am time. That's the impersonal manifestation of Krishna. But who have you personally surrendered to without knowing?
I guess we do it all the time.
To who? Give me an example.
Just by dwelling in ignorance, really.
Who do you surrender to without knowing? Have you given all your money to someone without knowing them?
I have.
Can you tell us about it?
Whenever you fill out a 1040 form, you know, you surrender.
A what form?
A 1040 tax form. Surrender your money to someone you don't know. Isn't that right?
That's kind of an impersonal thing. There's not just one person who's running the government.
Yeah, it's impersonal.
Right. But I'm talking about surrendering to one person. There's no king. Even if there was a king, he'd have his ministers. So, give me an example of you surrendering to a person you don't know.
I'm wearing something.
Yeah.
Someone wants it, and it comes up and goes, give me that piece of clothing, and...
You've done that?
Yeah.
Why? You didn't even know them? They just came up to you?
Yeah, well, I see. And I don't know, because I guess I've scared my own sort of safety.
Oh, that's force!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's...
You surrendered to force.
No, I'm talking about voluntary. That's force.
Oh, okay.
Krishna is not forcing in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not holding a gun to Arjuna's head and saying, surrender to me. Then there can be no love, right? You didn't surrender your clothing to that person out of love, did you? You did it out of fear. You were coerced, right? I didn't know they did that in New Zealand. They do that kind of thing, huh?
No.
Really? I thought they only do that in the States, you know? They take your leather coat or your basketball shoes or something like that, yeah?
That's sort of fashion for
them. Oh, of course, because they watch all the movies and TV from the States, you know? What would life in New Zealand be like without movies and TV from the States? Huh? Yeah, a lot better, yeah. But so, you know, everybody would say, oh, we'd be so bored without the movies. Yeah, but of course. Anybody with half a brain understands. You see that stuff on the movie screen or the television screen, you start imitating it. You know, just like I was just in Tokoroa last weekend, and they're starting to have drive-by shootings there because the kids see it in the movies. They go to see these movies about the gangsters in L.A., and they, you know, they want to imitate. So, you know, they got nothing better to do. Say, well, let's have drive-by shootings in Tokoroa. When I was in Christchurch early this year, I did one program at a youth prison there. And all the kids in the prison, you know, 14, 15, 16, they all wanted to know about Los Angeles, you know. Tell us about Compton. It's really exciting there. Yeah, that's what I said, you know. Some of them had, you know, sweatshirts, you know, with Compton High School on it, you know. Or hats with Compton on it, you know. And their heroes were all the rap singers, you know. And tell us about Compton, Los Angeles. Must be really great. They're really thrilling. I said, what's so thrilling about that place? I said, if you actually ever went there, I said, well, you know, it's got to be a lot of full-on action there. I said, what do you call full-on action? Well, you know, like, you know, drug busting and gang banging, you know.
Interesting. People choose to be conscious of.
Yes. Now, what do you choose to be conscious of?
Present and future.
What's your future?
Let's see what it is.
You're going to, this is my teacher at the university? Yes, it is. They teach you everything except what you should know. What is your future?
It's happening right now.
What is your future?
What's my future?
Yes.
In what regard?
Take your pick.
Well, I'd rather look at the now, because what I do now will have effect with my future. What I think now.
The future is up to you completely?
I'd like to focus right here now, because I think what I focus on now will go into the future. My thoughts and actions will... I think it's better to focus on the now rather than future. Living in the past, living in the future, just be here now and focus here now. Whatever you focus on now will flow into.
Yes.
You know, but what do you think now? Like if you get up in the morning and
be
think,
with it.
I'm going to have a whole new day, well, that will go into your future. You know? Basically, that's what I'm saying. Like some people get up and think, oh, it's raining and this, and so they set it up.
Mm-hmm.
They set up like a vibration or energy.
When you get up, you think, oh, what a jolly good time I'm going to have today. Oh, jolly.
No, but I'd rather just be here.
Be where?
Right here, let me see.
And what's that like? What are you experiencing? What are you qualitatively experiencing?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, I can, you know, I'm experiencing all the things I experience with my senses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. The senses.
And my mind also.
Yes, according to Bhagavad Gita, the mind is a sixth sense.
So I experience, it's like an internal, you know, whatever I'm, a lot of the time we're in our head. Well, I am anyway, I speak for myself.
You're in your head?
In your mind, you know, you're thinking. Like right here, I'm using all my things. I can smell and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, my brain's going.
Thinking what else you could have been doing instead of coming here.
I'm just using you.
I wonder how that movie would have been if I went to the movies. But seriously, you're mentioning all about your senses, which is correct. And here we are back to the original point again. We are the servants of our senses. So Krishna is saying, Don't surrender to your senses. Surrender to me. Now, why is it that we don't experience Krishna as part of the now? Let's get back to what we were discussing. We walk around the city and we in no way acknowledge that all the energy has a proprietor. We just think, it's just all here, it's just the flow, it's just what is, you know? The Bhagavad Gita will train you to see, this is Krishna's energy. Even the moment belongs to Krishna. And I also belong to Krishna. I am Krishna's energy. Time is Krishna's energy. The world is Krishna's energy. We need training to see that. Otherwise, simply to say, oh, I'm just flowing with it. I'm just part of it. I'm just being, you know, and I'm being positive about it. That will not get you a diploma as a human being. We must know who is the proprietor and controller. Just like the example we gave, when his brother sees his car, he immediately thinks of him. But we experience this world with our senses and never acknowledge that there can be a proprietor and controller. We just think, it's just all out here, I'm just being with it, I'm just flowing with it, right?
No, I don't think so.
Ah, okay.
I think it's good to live with awareness. Oh. Your awareness of God.
Okay. Now we're back to the... And can you please explain?
Well, I don't know if I can, actually, to be honest. But,
but you must know what you're being aware of.
I don't know if I want to get into this.
All you have to do is say you don't know, then you get off the hook.
Oh, okay.
That's always a way to escape in these words.
Maybe it's best to do that. Or to ask questions.
Yes.
I mean, I have started doing some study, and so...
Well, what are you studying?
It might take people. Because I am just learning still too, so I wouldn't want to tell you if I don't understand it or something like that, because I might misinterpret it.
Something metaphysical?
It's a trick question.
I wouldn't do anything like that. Who is it? Sai Baba or this Ananda or that Ananda or the Purple Way or whatever. Anyway, so Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Who knows something about Krishna? And who cares? We don't. We just want to surrender to our senses, right?
What about the part of us that is already, that is God? Do you think that part must know?
The part of us that's what?
Well, okay, so you've got Krishna.
Yes.
And Krishna is in us.
How do you know?
It
says so. Yeah. True, it does say, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, I'm in your heart as the controller. Okay. So?
So, if Krishna is in us.
That means we're Krishna, right?
We're all... is it free? Krishna is us.
Yes.
We're one with Krishna.
And how
would you say? Would you say that?
Would I say that? How would you describe that?
No, I'm asking. I'm asking. That Krishna is in all of us.
Yes.
Would you say that we're all one with God? One with Krishna.
But in order to answer that question, I have to ask, what do you mean by one with?
right now that I'm asking. And, hold the show.
How can I learn the language?
Okay, so I'm going to
start. Very fascinating.
On. So God is. God is enough.
Mm-hmm. If he's in us, he must, I know, he must be locked in our hearts and can't get out, right?
We're one with him. Are we one with him?
One with him. Okay, so basically you're saying you really don't know what that oneness could be, but you're just asking the question. Which is fair enough, okay? Can't push it too far, else Grant gets on my case here.
Maharaj, now, but there are some gray areas which are better than, you know, ignorance, but they're not completely there, but still they're somewhere.
We could say that we were the same divine spark, but not like once we were aware of that divinity.
Ben?
Once we were aware of the divine spark within us and became one with it. I know, I'm just trying to put it into words.
Okay, I'll give you precisely what the Vedas...
Just think about it.
Wait, right. No, don't think about it, because with speculation you cannot understand transcendental knowledge. You have to hear...
Yeah, but it's a question I've been trying to... It's just getting it into... There's a lot, and I keep thinking, well, just write it down after you, but,
yeah.
Once you came to that place, not the physical and not the mind...
And let's just focus on your question about the spark. And we'll try to push away whoever's been confusing you the past few weeks.
I don't know if they've been confusing you. It's just maybe possibly my understanding of what they're trying to say even.
Okay. We'll give you the precise understanding that Krishna gives. Very easy. This is an example given in the Vedas. The living entities are like sparks in the fire. Krishna is the fire. There's oneness in quality between the spark and the fire, but there's not oneness in quantity. The spark doesn't have the same burning capacity as the fire. Or looked at another way, a gold earring and a gold mine. If you have a gold earring and I own a gold mine in the Coromandel, it's true that we both own gold, right? But when we start talking quantity, there's no comparison, right? So, we are all qualitatively one with Krishna, just like the spark of fire is qualitatively one with the fire. But there's a complete quantitative difference, you understand? You are tiny and Krishna is infinite. That gap can never be bridged. And anybody who tells you different, this is what you do. You take off your shoe and you go. And you'll do them a favor. Right in that seat. Not sure about that, huh? That could be really giving you secret knowledge that actually you are the infinite, right?
Well, if Krishna is in us all.
Then we must be Krishna, is that what you're saying? Anyone who says that, once again, just...
And I know when we go back into that oneness.
What is that? You don't know what that oneness is. Why do you keep saying like that? Whoever's telling you this,
so
that's confusing.
When we realize that we are
that
true nature.
What is our true nature?
When we realize our true nature.
Which is?
Well, it's not the physical body.
Well, what is it?
Well, that we are one with God. That we are. It's that spark.
Spark? I am all for the spark. Yeah, I go for the spark. But the spark is part of the whole fire, you understand? And what happens when the spark jumps out of the fire? If it falls on wet ground, it goes out. That's the mode of ignorance.
But once the spark realizes who it is, it becomes back into that oneness, doesn't it? I mean,
yes, but it doesn't become the fire. It's just the spark. You are eternally part What's this Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Mamayavam Shojivaluke. You are eternally my parts and parcels. Anyone who tells you that you are the supreme, but you've forgotten, once again, you take off your shoe and just go. How does the supreme forget that he or she is the supreme? Yet, some bogus spiritual teachers will say like that. This is our choice to enjoy in this way in the world of matter, in these temporary bodies. This is our choice to see what ignorance is like. Okay, now choose not to. Choose not to die. Choose not to get old. Stop time.
Possible to have a...
We're really getting to have a deep discussion tonight. You guys had it, didn't you?
Possible to have a Supreme Personality experience.
And what would that be like?
Maybe you graduated so high in your consciousness
that
itself,
that you did what?
That eventually there was kind of going further. And then that last ability couldn't go any further, you sort of absorbed into the supreme consciousness, and just you had no sort of personal sort of.
What book are you going to read? We're really getting into it now. I knew it was there. What are you reading? Saying that she reads?
I'm not offering them.
This is fantasy. You are eternally an individual. So you better find out what to do with yourself, because you can't disappear. Either you live a healthy life or a sick life. Material life is a sick life.
Is it like, do we all have a go at experiencing all sorts of experiences? Even the ones that are not so desirable or something?
No, just look, what do you think you're doing now? You think your experiences now are desirable? Trapped inside a body. Did you ask for that body? Do you remember asking for that body?
Maybe I just asked for it completely.
Huh? You didn't ask for the body. You didn't ask, I want to be a boy, I want to be in this family, I want this mother and father, I want to be born in New Zealand. You never asked for that. It was forced on you. Did you ask to get old?
Maybe you asked for it.
Wait, before you started liking girls, you didn't like them. Did you ask for your hormones to change? Did you?
Maybe subconsciously.
No. You are not in control. These things are forced on you.
But maybe you could have universally asked for it.
What do you mean universally as well?
I mean, if you objectively could see everything in entirety, totality.
How can you, a tiny thing, perceive totality?
Maybe I can't.
All right.
I mean,
but if the totality comes before you and says, here's knowledge, I'm like this, I'm like that, why don't you take it? That's what Krishna is doing in Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says, surrender to me, he's saying, just rely on me for your knowledge. I'm the totality. I'll give you all the information. Don't speculate anymore. That's what surrender to me means, part of it. Can you handle that?
No. Yes.
Huh? You have to find out more about Krishna. This is the 18th chapter. I told you it was going to be an advanced discussion tonight. Krishna doesn't demand you surrender in the first chapter. He waits till the 18th. After 18 chapters, he lays down the law. Okay, Arjuna, this is the way it is. But he also says, think about what I've said and do what you like. It's a choice, because there can't be love between the part and the whole without choice.
we actually choose that, or is it forced?
Yes, you choose. There's no force in love of God. You voluntarily surrender. What? What's wrong with effort? That which you love, you put out effort for.
The effort that you put out.
You never put out any effort for someone you thought you loved?
Yeah, but you can call it effort, but it's sort of neutralized by that love in a way. You get all that energy from the love. And
so any of your companions, just tell them, you know, I just really feel effortless love for you. I'm just not going to do anything for you. That'll be the end of the relationship. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to tell. It's just effortless, you know. It's just the real thing, real love, effortless. No, come on. You know, you work the telephone. You know, you're doing all sorts of things, you know.
It's not a struggle, though, is it?
Yes. Because in order to be able to pursue your lusty desires, you've got to work. You're going to school right now, it's a uni, you don't even know what you're doing there. Isn't that a struggle?
Yeah.
Aren't you studying for exams? Isn't that a struggle?
Well, not if you love it.
Oh, you love it?
Not really.
All right. So we're going to call it quits there for tonight. It's been an exciting discussion, folks. Tune in next week for the next episode of Hopefully somebody here will feel motivated to try to find out more about Krishna. You've served your senses and mind and your speculations for so long. Why not find out about Krishna and render service to Krishna?
What does Krishna mean?
The all-attractive reservoir of pleasure.
So it means in...
Yes.
In Sanskrit.
Yes. Interesting, huh? The all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. You could be missing something, huh? All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.